We turn in the Word of God to the Epistle of Peter, to 1 Peter and chapter 4. 1 Peter and chapter 4. This chapter begins with the word therefore, as so often we see the word here in the scripture. We see there is a reason for it. In the tail end of chapter 3, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated on high, all authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, the will of the unbeliever. That's what the term Gentile means here, because the context being that these predominantly Hebrew believers on the Lord Jesus being scattered lived amongst the Gentiles, the non-Jew. But the term is used quite often in the New Testament to speak of the spiritual Jew and the Gentile. The spiritual Jew being the true Jew, being that one who is born of the Spirit of God, whether they be from Jew or Gentile physically. And so the term Gentile here in context means the unbelieving world. Doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. The worship of the flesh. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Yes, we are strange people. Believers are strange people to the world. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Christ is coming soon. Soon. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister, serve one another. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability. If anyone serves one another, another believer, that's what it means by minister. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now this morning we begin what is most definitely a two-parter, possibly a three-parter. But the title of the message is Love, Love Because of What Love Has Done. Love because of what love has done. Now remember, when we just read in 1 John chapter 4, we made it clear that there is a love being spoken of here. Not only in 1 John chapter 4, but here in 1 Peter chapter 4. The love being spoken of here is the love that comes from God. It's God's love for his people. I'm not one who believes in standing and quoting Greek and Hebrew words in the pulpit, because that's not the place for it. You should be able to be assured and know that I have done my study. But it doesn't hurt in now and then to be reminded of certain things, especially as this subject of love tells us that there are many aspects of what we would commonly call love. And this term is the love of God in Christ Jesus for his people. This is what the word means. It's the same love. It's what's called agapeo. I'll spell it for you later. Agapeo. Agapeo and sometimes agape. This is the love of God. This is the love in Christ. Which indeed, John the Apostle in 1 John 4 made clear anyway. It's the love that you receive in Christ Jesus. That's the love which we're to love one another with. I wonder if you remember the pass it on game, or sometimes I think it was called Chinese whispers, where someone says something to one and you have to pass it on to the next one. And if you played this game before, you'll know how it works and how it ends up. But most times it ended up in confusion, didn't it? Ends up in confusion, total confusion. With the original words spoken being either mixed up at best, or worse still, changed altogether. That's how that game works. But the love spoken of here in 1 Peter 4:8 is not passed on in that sense. It's not passed on in that sense. But rather received, firstly, foremostly, received directly, individually. The child of God who loves their fellow child of God, loves their brother or sister in Christ, because they know individually that love. They have that love individually. This command, and it is a command, and yet it's a command which also presumes that it is there already. Because it is. It should be. It's an evidence, as we shall see in a moment, an evidence of who the people of God are. This command for love amongst God's elect to be known and practiced, perfected, worked at, as we shall see next time, and yes, witnessed, seen by the unbeliever, can only come from a gratitude for this love, a valuing of this love, and therefore having experienced this love. having experienced the love of God flowing out from his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In short, there must be a starting point for this command to be indeed practiced. There must be a starting point from which you as a child of God can and do display and show such love toward your fellow brethren. Not just calling them fellow believers, but fellow brothers and sisters, brethren. Such as are of the like common faith, Jude says. Got all things common. Have all things common. We have all things common. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Of one mind, one spirit, one heart. And so the first question to be raised is this, is always this. Have you known the call? Have you known the call of God's love and grace in Christ Jesus? As I said before, this love is the love of God. It's the love of God outflowing to his people, upon his people, in his people, and therefore flowing out from his people to his people. And so, it is not the love that we speak of in the world. It's not even an affection for someone who is a child of God. Have you known the call of God's love and grace in Christ? For unless you have, you cannot. It is impossible. You cannot know this love spoken of for believers. You can't love believers. It's impossible. You may have a kind of affection, for people in the church, but not this identification badge. That's what it is. It's an identification. This identification badge of being a true child of God, following Christ, a disciple of Christ. For what does the Lord tell us? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. This is the tag. This is the identification. This is the evidence. This is one of them. If you have love, not for everyone in the world, if you have love one for another. In any case, what good is any loving acts in the world? They mean nothing. They're pointless. They're without any depth if we have no love for our brethren. In that context, charity, the word used in the AV, or more importantly, better put, love. In that context, love, charity, begins at home. It begins with God's people. And of course, God puts it clearer through his apostle and says, how indeed can you say you love me? How can you say you love God if you love not your brother, who you have seen? This is the sum and the substance of God's commands to his people, as Jesus quoted in Mark 12, 30 and 31, he quoted the words of Deuteronomy 6, 5, encapsulating the whole obedience to God. The whole obedience to God's law is encapsulated in this. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first. This is the first commandment. And the second is like. Namely this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Nothing greater than this. There's nothing greater than to love God as he is to be loved. There is nothing greater than to love those who are the objects of his grace, your fellow brethren in Christ. There's nothing greater than to love them. The Apostle Paul says, does he not? In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, even if I have all these manner of gifts, I can speak in all manner of tongues, if I can indeed, I can perform all manner of miracles, I can do this, I can do that. If I have not love, I'm but a sounding gong. I'm but a sounding gong. For the greatest are faith, hope and love. These remain, faith, hope and love, and the greatest being love. Love is the source, the fountainhead of everything that comes from God to his people, and it is indeed the fountainhead of what comes forth from God's people to one another. Love. And so, firstly, today, we must lay the foundation. We must lay the foundation. John the Apostle said in John 1 John 4, he says indeed about loving your brethren shows that you're born of God. He says, how can you love God whom you have not seen if you love not your brother who you have seen? But of course, you cannot love that one. In fact, they are not your brother. They are not your sister in the Lord. If you're not in the Lord, if you love not God. We must start here. We must start here. Peter says here, and above all things have fervent love for one another. Fervent love. Fervent love. We do not love if we do not love God. Why do we love God? Why love God? Why is it that the child of God, the one who trusts on the Lord Jesus, says, I love God? Because his love has been revealed to us from heaven. The apostle says manifested, doesn't he? Manifested. It's been... The scales on our eyes have been taken away. We now know what love is. We know that God is love now because he's revealed his love to us. 1 John 4:19, we love him because He first loved us. This is not mutual love. This is God loving first. We pray, God, stir up my love for you, that my love may grow stronger, warmer, greater. We're catching up with God, aren't we? Our love for him. We're trying to catch up with him, and we can't. But it's greater than our love for him. His love for us, with which he first loved us. We cannot attain it, but we seek to. And it grows more and more the closer we get to God. And so what kind of love is this? It's like none other. I struggle so often with Bible study and sermon preparations. When I come across this term in our language, using this term in the sermon, and speaking of God, and I say, like the question there, what is this love like? Well, God's not like anything or anyone, is he? To whom will you compare me, he says. We're so limited in what we can say, in how we can express. But you know what I'm trying to say when I say, what is this love like? Or should I say, what is this love? It has no beginning nor end. And this love is unconditional. Unconditional. It's been said at times, a mother's love is unconditional. Well, to a degree it is. But you know, we're only human, and we can be tested only so far sometimes. I mean, you think of some of those people who you think they've loved their child, though they've done so many heinous things. Test of that love. That's finite. Finite. But this love is unconditional. Completely unconditional. The love with which God loved his people and ever loved his people had nothing to do with anything he foresaw us do. Good or bad. The electing love of God, whereby indeed he chose a people unto himself, had nothing to do with any good or bad we did. Do we not read that in Romans 9? When we read of the election of God, of his choosing of his people, according to his electing love, God speaks of those two, Esau and Jacob. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. This was before they did any good or evil, either of them. And Jacob did much evil. It is unconditional. It is not only unconditional from eternity. In time, we have found it to be and experienced it to be unconditional as well. When we indeed fell in Adam, and as we knew ourselves to be undone by sin, we experienced the unconditional love of God when he comes to us and reveals his Son in us. Such is the love with which God loves, ever loved his people. Those who know the call of his grace those who have known it, those who know it even now. Such is the love of God's people, that those who he calls by his grace and mercy in this gospel hour, even now, in the gospel of Christ, such is this love, that he says through his prophet Jeremiah, the Lord have appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. This is my love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And the one who knows themselves to be undone by their sin, who's brought face to face with their inadequacy to please God, face to face with the filth of their sin, the guilt of their sin, and yet to see the Saviour by faith, they know the meaning of these words. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, nothing could change that love. And so it doesn't matter how heinous your sin was. With loving kindness have I joined you. We must start here. Our love for God is drawn from love which he has for his elect, which he has for his people, and has given to those who are his. You are mine, he says to his people. I have bought you. I have redeemed you. 1 John 3:1 says, behold. Think on these words. Because he says, behold. 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 If anyone should have God is love or a love theme for wedding services, perhaps this should be the one, the verse they should center on. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. This means he's poured it out without measure. Bestowed is not enough. He's poured it out without measure. It also means he's lavished it. Lovingly lavished it, that we should be called the sons of God. Adopted now. Adoption, one of the most neglected teachings of those things which flow forth from the cross. Adoption in Christ. Anyone who's been adopted over a certain age, not talking so much of infants who would have no memory of it, but over a certain age, because usually they're the ones that get forgotten, aren't they? They're the harder job to take someone on. Anyone who's been loved or adopted or fostered over a certain age, they experience that love, and it may be for the first time. They know it. To be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. This truly is an exclusive thing, this love. And so the only ones who've experienced this love can bestow it upon their fellow believer, their brethren. And this acceptance with God is known because of the demonstration, the outworking of this love toward his elect. It was not only demonstrated, but this demonstration of God's love has done something, has brought his people to himself. For secondly, what is the demonstration of this love towards God's people? Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were rebellious sinners, even when we were deliberate sinners, even when we were dead in sin, unrepentant sinners, Christ died for us. Such love, which was a sacrificial one, was sent. Sorry, which was a sacrificial one, sent Christ to bear the blame, to bear all the blame for his people's sin, being made the sin-bearing substitute at the cross. That's love. That's love. That's love. Try and tell me an expression of love. Try and tell me what love is. That's love. That's love. Herein is love. 1 John 4:8-10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. It's brought to us. It's from God and it's toward his people. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Herein is love. Do you want to know what love is? I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. As the song goes, here is love. The world's crying out to know what love is. Many aren't. They're looking in the wrong places. They're looking after that other kind of love. The eros love. The one that comes and passes in an instant. The gratification love. That's not what love is. Do you want to know what love is? Herein is love. Herein is love. Encapsulated in all this. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. We say, oh yeah, we love this and we love that and we have compassion on this and we have compassion on that. No, no. When we talk about this love, we did nothing. We hated God. We were at enmity with God. We were at war with God. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. From eternity. When we fell in Adam. And as we continued on our merry way, deliberately, in that we were made sinners. We continued on in rebellion to him. He continued to love. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He was to be that mercy seat. The one who should indeed bear all our iniquity. This great act of God's love was demonstrated for sure. When God the Father poured out his full fury of his wrath upon his beloved Son, forsaking him as he was made sin for us. And he has covered the sin of all those he came to save. As we shall see next week in more detail, love covers a multitude of sins. We can only come close by our love but see what the love of God has done. And so thirdly, so then believers have love amongst ourselves. Those who are born of God have love amongst ourselves, as indeed each have tasted that same love from God. It's common to us. This is called the love for the brethren. And there's a distinct lack of that in this age in which we live. So many people holding grudges. For what? For what reason? Petty. But of course, as I said, we must start with the love for God because of his love for us. If we continue to think on that love, everything else falls away into insignificance in the light of it. Why love the brethren? Why love the brother and sister in Christ Jesus? Why work at this love? It is to love yourself. It's to love yourself. In the context of loving a husband, loving his wife, as Christ loved the church, God's word says, no man ever hated his own body. And we are all joined one to another. We are all the body of Christ. So why would someone hate themselves? Why would someone do wrong to themselves? In one part of the body rejoices, the rest rejoice with it. One is grieved, the others grieve with it. Well, if we do bad one to another, we are injuring ourselves. There is a unity in the body of Christ, whether we know it or not, that cannot be broken. It's the mystical union in Christ Jesus. It's the bond of peace. And that's why we're to guard it so often. So much. It is to love yourself, for you are joined. You are joined, united in one love. Never mind the stupid one love, let's get together and feel all right. That's a load of old bunkum. No one pays attention to that. They just chant that as a slogan. This one love in Christ. One in Christ, as Galatians 3 says. We are united in this one love because this one love has come upon us and is in us and through us. That of Christ. As the word of God says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. What wise words, which if we consider them more often, if we consider them more often, we should be careful how we behave towards others, and most importantly, our fellow believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. For see, Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity. Yeah, these things aren't easy. These things aren't easy. And we may be hampered. You can't clap together without one hand, without two hands, can you? You've got to join together for these things. But as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What is the good? And there's nothing wrong in this. And it's right and proper. What is the good in doing good to people outside outside in our daily lives, being kindly in our daily lives, doing a good deed in our daily lives for a non-believer, and Christ hopefully be seen by those good works. What is the good of those? If we harbour hatred, evil thoughts, and worse still, grudges and lack of love towards our brethren. It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. Those who are of the household of faith, we've got all things common. All things common. People say, I think someone said to me in another context the other day, well, we haven't got anything in common. Talking about something. Well, the child of God, whatever we lack in other things, we have all things common in Christ. All things common in Christ. I'm not saying that. That's the word of God says that. So we work on it. We work on that love. And it is to be worked at. Don't get me wrong. It's to be worked at. For this that the word of God is saying to us here in 1 Peter 3:8 is talking about a love that we stir up, we work on. This love with which believers love and should love each other, our text says, is to be fervent. Fervent. What is this? This is to stretch, to extend forth. To stretch forth, to extend without ceasing. It's a love, and a fervent love that is to be worked upon, is to be continued. Not just once and that's it. How God's love was stretched forth to the greatest degree. When Christ stretched forth his hands to save on the cross. And how his love is fervently bestowed upon us daily. And if so loved you are of God. If God so loved you and loves you, who belong to him, this surely motivates. I stop short of saying surely should motivate, because that's not right. Because he who loves is born of God. It's evidence. We do. It's not perfect, it's imperfect. We're working on it and we're striving, but it's still there. It's still there. Just as our faith is as small as a mustard seed at times, but it's still there. It's still there. It cannot be destroyed. So, this surely motivates fervent love. Fervent love among believers. We look again here at 1 John 4 and verse 11. As we consider Christ being made a propitiation for sin, the Holy Spirit says to us, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He's saying it in such terms as it's but reasonable. It's just natural, flowing on. The word of God in Colossians 3:14 speaks of this love being something that we are to put on, as if a garment to be worn. constantly, fervently. It is an ongoing process. This is an ongoing process. For we live in this body of flesh and we fail. But it's an ongoing process. And so to conclude today, if you have put on Christ by faith, then in this new year, put on, stretch out such love one for another. And wider afield to the people of God. May this love be known and witnessed by the unbelieving, that they be drawn by irresistible love and grace to taste the love of God themselves. May it be said, look how they love each other. And may people be drawn to the fountain source of this love. May they be drawn to the fountain source of this love, to the head of this love. And may they indeed be born again of this love.